You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. And the scripture reading today is in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for His sake. Amen.
Good morning. Well, Derek and Sherry in Wichita, and he asked me to teach today, so I figured I'd talk about that God has a plan. Isn't that nice to know? Let's get started with prayer, and we'll get going. Father, we pause now to thank you for the time set aside we can study your word. Thank you for the time that we can glorify your Son Christ and the completed word that we've been given. We thank you for this assembly, the freedom to come together and worship you through Right Division. We thank you for the calling of Right Division and the calling of the mystery to help all Christians see what is this fellowship of the mystery, which had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, but was revealed to the Apostle Paul. We thank you for that calling, and we hopefully are faithful to it and do what we need to do to help others see. And pray for this lesson to do that same as well. So in Christ's name we pray, in name we ask it. Amen. There's a certain teacher at school named Eric Ferguson, Aaron Ferguson, who's a really good guy. I mean, he's had the Salt and Light program, and he just turned 40 last week. And I saw him at the basketball game, and I said, hey, congratulations on the birthday. He said, one I would like to forget. Well, heck, he just turned 40. I'm approaching 50. So I've got about 10 years of hope I can forget on him. No, I'm approaching 49, but, you know, that's close enough to 50, too. So he has a presentation he presents to the elementary students at Thanksgiving where he talks about God's favorite characteristics. He asked the students to name two of them, and I was thinking, okay, obviously grace and mercy is one of the things I thought of, but he indicated his favorite was providence. And providence consists of two words, video and pro. Now, video means to see, and pro means before. So see before. So, we'd all like to see before, you know. I wish I knew what's going on. I wish I was in the plan. I wish I was in the know. Wouldn't you? Well, if you go to the 1828 American Dictionary by Noah Webster, he defines providence as the act of providing, preparing for future use or application. Problems for war is the best prevention of it, now little use. And the second definition was foresight, and third was in theology, the care and superintendence which God exercises over his creatures. He that acknowledges the creation and denies a providence involves itself in a palpable contradiction. For the same power which caused a thing to exist is necessary to continue its existence. Some persons admit a general providence, but deny a particular providence, not considering that a general providence consists of particulars. A belief in divine providence is a source of great consolation to good men. By divine providence is often understood God Himself. God reveals Himself to you. So, if we drop down to consider the providence and God's plan, you know, you have to say, first of all, let's consider God's revealed plan. Then involves creation, Adam and Eve, Noah and the flood, Tower of Babel, Abraham. And with Abraham came the law, the old covenant. We had Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Joshua. We had judges, with the last judge was Samuel. We had kings with Sir Saul and David and Solomon. We had prophets, minor and major. In the New Testament, we had Jesus Christ, which was the new covenant offered. We had the 12 apostles. We had Paul. We had the Gentiles blessed through and with faithful Abraham. With those Gentiles, we had grace plus law light. And you had Revelation. That's a revealed plan of God. In Isaiah 46, 9 through 10, he says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God. For there is no else, none else, I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are and yet not yet done, saying, my counsel will stand, and I will do all my pleasure." We find in Revelation 4:11, it said that, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Now, the funny thing about saying God has a plan is you have to look at the plans within plans. Now, I'm a science fiction fan, and there are certain science fiction movies that I have marked off as favorites. One of which was, I was in college way back when Dune came out. And Dune was a great science fiction book, and everybody read Dune, and it was all about the worms and the planet Arrakis and spice and all that stuff. And the movie came out. I hadn't read Dune, so I went and saw the movie first. You know, that's the modern generation. Go see the movie first, and everybody else tell you that reading the book was better. Then you go back and read the book and agree with them. Well, in this movie, the opening scene is the princess of the Padishar Emperor, Shaddam the Fourth, and he ruled the known galaxy at the time. And there was an alarm going off, and he was looking concerned. And everybody cleared his court, and a spaceship landed, and these really weird people came in to speak to him. And these weird people were from the planet Arrakis, which is where the spice was mined. And spice is important because if they controlled the spice, they were able to fold space. And that's all a bunch of googly-gook, but these people who manage Arrakis and spice had foresight, had providence. The providence they had weren't very biblical because they really couldn't see all of it. They saw some of it. And they went to this king, and in his court, they addressed him. He said, "We have seen your plans." And of course, he said, "Oh, my plans, there's no problem. Here's my plan." And they challenged him. He said, "No, we see plans within plans." So then he felt, "Oh, I need to kind of confess up," because he had the hidden plan to eliminate his competition. Well, that's science fiction. When you look at God and the plan he has, when we say he has plans within plans, when you consider that the plan was formed before the foundation of the world. Now, when you talk about a revealed plan, you jump into creation, Adam and Eve, etc. And the majority of the scripture talks about the revealed plan. And you, in the revealed plan, see some verses that speak to this before the foundation of the world meeting of the Godhead. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 20 says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." So here we have that little scripture that talks about before the foundation, the blood of Christ was established as a mean of salvation. In John chapter 17, this is when the Lord was praying. He said, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thus loved me before the foundation of the world. Today we have a summer calling and inheritance that was hidden in God before the foundation of the world. Now, here's a challenge for you. Go to the concordance and study before the foundation of the world and compare it to since or from the foundation of the world. Look up all the passages and compare the things that differ. And what will happen is hopefully this division will jump out at you and you'll see that this plan before the foundation of the world was set in motion. And it was hushed up when God created Adam and Eve. It was hidden in Scripture. It was nowhere to be found. It was only revealed through the Apostle Paul after the Acts 28:28 announcement he made to the nation of Israel, saying, you know, the salvation of God is now sent or authorized to the Gentiles and they will hear it. The first book he wrote after Acts 28 was Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 3, Paul is telling us about this hidden purpose. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." Now, what else was decided before the foundation of the world? Well, the blood of Christ was there. When God was praying in John chapter 17, when Jesus was praying to his Father God, he said, "Man, let them see the blessings that I received before the foundation of the world." So there was this meeting there. Now, in that meeting, what did they do? Did God, the Godhead, create principalities and powers, mights and dominions? They created the angels. They did so much amazing things in Scripture. You get a piece of it. You see it. But here Paul tells us that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. My gosh. He chose me back then? Who am I? Well, verse 5, "Having predestinated us under the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us an accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good purpose, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him." So this meeting, before the foundation of the world, the Godhead established the blood of Christ as a pinnacle foundation for the plan that stretched to the dispensation of the fullness of times, where he gathered all things together in one, in all things in Christ, where he is the head and we are the body. Now that's amazing. In a sense, today we have this separate calling, an inheritance. This mystery was hidden in God before the foundation of the world. It was revealed at the close of Acts, and we see in Colossians 1:25 and 20:26, and Ephesians 3:9. It says Ephesians 3:9 through 11 that it says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery." Now, your "men" might be in italics there. Basically, it's all saints see. If a person has not accepted Christ as their Savior, they will not see the mystery. They will not understand the revealed plan, hidden purpose, because they're lost. They can't comprehend the things of God. So, you must first acknowledge that you're a sinner, you need a Savior, and you need to come to Christ Jesus. Period. Now, once you're saved, you're called to grow up. Now, in watching my children grow up, as a parent, you get to see that firsthand. You get to see their growth. And in a sense, you start comparing it to your growth. So you're benchmarking. When I went through high school, what did I do? Okay, this is what my son's doing. Was I better than him or is he better than me? Well, if he wasn't here, I'd tell you, he's no better than me, but he's better than me. He has a better grade point. He has better participation in activities in school. And I've encouraged him to do that and to do better than me. Doesn't every parent do that? You need to be better than I was. And as I see him grow, I think at one point, when will he turn the corner and become the man? I remember we had this conversation a while back when he was turning 16. Now a man, Dad. And we went through the list. Okay, great. Do you pay for your own home? Do you pay for your food? Have you bought your own clothes? Have you paid for insurance? We continued to go down the list. And every time we talked about, I'm a man, it was like, well, no, I'm not. You know, you basically have to leave your parents' house and gain an income to get your own place and start your own family. That's when you become a man. But as a parent, you know, we're to raise our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You know, we've talked about, you know, from day one, my wife and I, Kathy and I, from the get-go, we were very adamant that the kids will be saved as fast as possible. They need to learn, accept Christ as their Savior before they drink the bottle, you know. So we, you know, preach, you know, the Bible, and we got them in CHA and a Christian school, and that's been very helpful. And I was in the car the other day, and Clayton was with me. As a matter of fact, I was picking him up from basketball practice. And Clayton's a good basketball player because Carter is about 10 times the height that Clayton is. So in order for Clayton to be competitive, he had to learn how to shoot over Carter. So he can go, boop, and whoop, make it. Wow, what skill. Well, he had to just do that to survive, you know. Carter would be sitting there blocking his shots just by raising the pinky. Beep, beep. Well, you know, Clayton's a pretty good basketball player. So he has relished the fact that his team's like 7-2 this year, and they're winning, and they're kind of dominating. And they're this weekend, they're playing the sixth grade team. He's in fifth grade. So they're thinking they're hopefully going to win that game. And pick him up in practice. And question, how was practice? Good, good. Well, he said, Dad, can we stop by Jamba Juice? Okay, we'll go to Jamba Juice and reward your good practice behavior. So I sat in the car, and he went to get the juice. And a van pulled up, and a father and daughter were sitting in the car. And father got out, and he went in. So I thought, well, you know, I'm sitting in the car. I sent Clayton in. The father left the daughter sitting in the van, and he went in. Maybe I should have got in. So I thought, well, mate, okay, well, it was cold, so I'm keeping the car warm. So I kind of rationalized that move. And then Clayton came in, got the car, and we backed out. Well, I was backing out. That van had a bumper sticker on it, coexist. I said, oh, Clayton, do you see that bumper sticker? Yeah, Dad, that's a bad bumper sticker. Let me tell you why. That coexists says all religions should get along, which is a lie. I said, Clayton, answer this question. How do you get to heaven? and he fired back, "By the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is my Lord and Savior." I said, "Son, you got it. There's one way to heaven, and you just nailed it." And that bumper sticker is saying, that's not the only way. There are so many ways to get to heaven, which is a lie. So unfortunately, that father and daughter we saw are lost people. They're evil. Dad, they're evil? So, well, son, probably not evil. I mean, they're probably lost, and they've been taken captive by Satan and to believe in this lie. And maybe evil's a strong word, but they're lost people. So I called Derek and told him the story and said, well, you know, it always comes back to bite you what you say with your kids. So it was exciting to educate him on the argument of the world that there's many ways to heaven. And this little bumper sticker just says it all, coexist. Well, there's only one way to heaven, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if you haven't crossed that bridge, I pray that you accept the fact that you're a sinner. You need a Savior. And the only Savior is Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, rose again, and sits in the heavenlies, far above all, to be your mediator between yourself and God. Please accept the man Christ Jesus for who he is, your Savior. Now, when you're saved, the calling here in Ephesians says, we're to make all saints see the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hidden in God. Why did he hide it? Okay, so we spoke and the Word was created, the world was created, and by fiat of God, he created the earth and recreated the heavenlies through the 7 days of recreation, and Adam and Eve, and he put them in the garden, and the garden was without sin. Why keep it a secret? Well, if you remember, back in that meeting I spoke of, when the Godhead got together and said, okay, let's plan this thing out, there were basically principalities and powers, mights and dominions. There are spiritual bodies that are actively looking at this play that's going on. And what's amazing about this calling is we are a particular piece of wisdom that God is showing these principalities and powers. The unmanifold wisdom of God. Verse 10, to the intent that now to the principalities and powers in heaven, the places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That meaning before the foundation of the world, this eternal purpose was created. Now in Colossians, we see in verse 25 through 29, Paul says, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And, you know, the mystery was given through the Apostle Paul. And when he wrote about it, it was a final body of truth given in Scripture. So when he completed the writings that he did, there was no more to be given. Scripture was complete. It fulfilled the word of God. The word of God is complete. Even the mystery which was hidden in God from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to its saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope and glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, and that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunder I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So, in God's revealed plan, hidden or revealed, it's good. You know, Mr. Ferguson said, look, he told the grade schoolers this. He said, what you need to know about providence is God has a plan. His plan is good. And his plan's for you. And with these elementary students, they got that. It's pretty simple. But when we start looking at the detail, you have to look at the plans within the plans. God has a plan. Well, which plan are we talking about? Hidden plan or revealed plan? Unfortunately, a majority of Christendom is reveling in the revealed plan of God and making it their own. The revealed plan was given to the body of Israel, to the Jews. The majority of the scripture pertains to that. Now, whether or not you talk about the revealed plan or the hidden plan, they are good. We tend to look at the differences because we acknowledge that our plan is the hidden purpose, not the revealed plan. What typically brings about frustration is when you are fellowshipping with Christians and they tend to take things out of the revealed plan, apply it to themselves, we see contradiction. We see things taken out of context, being applied that's not appropriate. So what's our strategy? What should we do? I remember talking about Mike Penny about this, and you know, he said early on he was eloquent about tearing other Christians down, about being able to, with a razor knife, point out how wrong they are about certain positions and how bad they are because they're wrong. So, should we do the same thing? Well, no. We should help them see the differences and encourage them to compare the differences and come to the conclusion themselves. You can't help a person, you can't force a person to see it. But once they see it, they got it. Right? Once you see the difference and you see the mystery and the calling and everything involved with it, and you get it, you can't walk away. It's now part of your DNA. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 through 10 says, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure with the person himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of times, he might gather together all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Chapter 2, verse 4 through 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in his sin, in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Jump to chapter 3, verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God's plan or hidden purpose includes you. The Gentile, not born of the descendant of Abraham, not being a member of any house of Israel, but as a separate Gentile, called directly to a relationship with God through Christ Jesus. Your status with God is not defined by Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, but with the hidden purpose revealed by the Apostle Paul in the mystery. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship, creating Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19 says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor or trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who hath given us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may hold on eternal life. In Philippians 1:6 it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. More in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13 says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have been obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. Now, when I say here, it says, work out your own salvation. How are we saved? Are we saved by works? No. Work out your own salvation is work out your walk. We're called into good works. We see that in 1 Timothy 6:18. Be rich in good works. Well, work out your own salvation. What are you called to do? Are you called to work? Are you called, you know, at home? Are you called at school? Where's your calling? Just get after it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 2 says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Faithful, available, teachable. Be a fat man. Are you one of these faithful Christians who have been called? Even though God is omniscient, when he exercises providence, you can still have free will to choose. Won't you choose to be on his team to teach? Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the time we have set aside now for your lesson. Pray that was honoring you and accurate. If any error, please mark it out. But we thank you always for your Son, Christ Jesus. We thank you for his word. We thank you for the calling we have in the mystery. And we thank you for all the blessings we have received and your continual nature, that the fact that you take care of us. And we just praise your name. For it's in Christ's name we pray. In name we ask it. Amen.
His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.